Dr. B.R. Lakin never expected to be anything more than a country preacher. That's what he said. But God had more in mind for this man born in Wayne County, West Virginia. He rode a mule to preach to his first three pastorates. He planted many churches. He became an evangelist. He began pastoring the Cadel Tabernacle in Indianapolis in 1942. He, along with Dr. Cadel, conducted the nation's family prayer period as Dr. Cadel's assistant. And finally, God used him through the last 40 years of his life to shake this continent for heaven. He was my mentor. He's buried on the campus of Liberty University, Liberty Mountain, Lynchburg, Virginia. He went to be with his Lord March 15, 1984, at the age of 82. You'll enjoy this message by Dr. B.R. Lakin, The Old-Time Religion.
I want to talk to you now for a little while on 5 minutes before death. A man's thoughts troubled him. In the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel, in verse 6, then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And then in the 30th verse, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. The story of Belshazzar takes on a very vital and meaningful interest as we get an understanding of the conditions under which his last great feast and his untimely death occurred. Perhaps the city itself, city of Babylon itself, should be described. The city was said to lay four square, about 15 miles each way, surrounded by an impregnable wall, and filled with its many gardens and marvelous temples. And on top of that, the river Euphrates ran directly through the heart of the city. The heart of the city. And at the setting of our story tonight, Belshazzar, the city was being besieged by the hordes of Medes and Persians. But it's not hard to see that Belshazzar felt no fear for his safety. He had a big wall. He had so much water he dared to make a feast. He had plenty of food. He dared to make a feast for them. On top of that, the river Euphrates ran directly through the city. And I think if they had gotten an army twice the size they had, he still would have felt no fear for his safety. But he started this great feast, and the pleasure seekers. And they came with their dancers, the dancers and the bands, and the wine flowing in the glasses, and the music, all of that. Belshazzar's last great feast. I want to talk to you now about this Old Testament soul. I want to talk to you about him, first of all, in life, how he lived. Second, I want to talk to you about him, how he died. A man usually dies like he lives. Show me how a man lives, and I'll show you how he dies. Because a man usually dies like he lives. Belshazzar in life, let me talk about that first of all. Belshazzar in life was a pleasure seeker. He said he made a feast to 1,000 of his lords and ladies and drank wine before the thousands. I think he was one of those whose whole philosophy of life was made up in this: eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Belshazzar was feasting at a time when he should have been fasting. He was feasting at a time when the enemy was at his very door. He was feasting at a time when his kingdom was about to be overthrown. I think it is one of those whose whole philosophy of life, I said, was bound up in eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. You say, Dr. Lakin, you don't believe in feast. You don't believe in that? Yes, I believe in feasting. But Belshazzar in life was a pleasure seeker. You say, don't you believe in pleasure? Don't you believe in pleasure? Yes. You never looked a fellow between two big brown eyes that's getting more fun out of living than I am. I'm as happy as a coon in a cornfield and the hounds tied up. I'm as happy as a bald-headed bumblebee in a 10-acre clover field of sucking honey from the blossom. That's what I'm. But I'm talking about a pleasure that builds. Then I'm talking about a pleasure that destroys. That destroys the moral woof of your whole body. That's what I'm talking about. You said, well, what's your objection to pleasure seeking? Well, number one, pleasure seeking chokes the word of God. and hinders it from taking root in the life. And you, pleasure seekers, you pleasure seekers, he said, you hear it today, but it means but little. And it's like the seed that falls upon the shallow ground. The birds of the air soon pick it up, and it's gone. Pleasure seekers, pleasure seeking, another thing. Pleasure seekers are never satisfied. Pleasure seekers are never satisfied. I mean by that, there is nothing that satisfies about pleasure. Why? Because the thing that gives you pleasure today won't give you pleasure tomorrow. The thing that you get a thrill out of today, you don't get a thrill out of tomorrow. So you have to have a new thrill, a new thrill. And that's the thing that leads you down and down and down until the first thing you know, you're in the center of the stream and the tug of it is too much on the pull of your oars until over the precipice you go. That's the reason I say to you, young lady, that's the reason I say to you, young man, be careful about the pleasure seeking. Why? Because pleasure seeking in the place and the next place never satisfies. I said the thing that gives you a thrill today will not satisfy. It's like the prodigal son. You might as well expect him to go back to Egypt and eat the husk that the swine were eating, as to expect your soul created in the image of God, as to expect it to be satisfied upon the husk that the devil gives you. The chocolate colored beans that hung from the tree, from the carob tree, they shook down and they crushed them and took the juice out of them. And he was willing, the prodigal son, to fill his belly with even the husk, with that which had had the juice squeezed out of it. Listen to me today, young people. All the devil ever offers you, all the devil ever offers you, has already had the juice squeezed out of it. Already had the juice squeezed out of it, and he only offers you that which is dry and full of husk. Pleasure seekers are never satisfied. If you think they are, why does the young girl stand yonder with her hands upon the banister to the bridge tonight and leap into a watery grave? Why does the man come from the party, the midnight party or carousal? Why does he come and pull off his evening coat, throw it in the corner and pull out a drawer and take a gun from it and place it to his temple and blood and brain spatters on the wall? Why? Because it didn't satisfy. You say, Dr. Lakin, if I'd come out from among the world and all of the pleasures that you're talking about, all of the pleasures that you're talking about, then I'd have to give up all of my friends. No, don't. You wouldn't, honey. They'll give you up. Don't you worry. When you come out and out four square for God, they'd shed you like a calf sheds its hair in the spring of the year. You won't have to worry about that. And did you know this? God never asks you to give up any good thing that is for your best interest to keep. God never asks you to give up anything except that which was doing you wrong and harm, that which was doing you harm. You've got God's word for that. You've got God's word for that. He said, no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Amen. No good thing. No thing that's for your best interest. For those who walk uprightly, pleasure seekers are dead in their sins. He said, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. What does he mean by that? He means that the woman who thinks for pleasure, whose God is pleasure, who bows down for pleasure, who worships at pleasure's altar, he says she's dead while she lives. Merciful God, how many corpses do you have walking the streets of this city? It doesn't pay. It doesn't pay. And one of these days when you come down to the end of it, I said to a young lady not long ago, I was holding a meeting and had a young fellow with me that he had been a pusher, a dope pusher. He wasn't a user, but he peddled it. And he said one night, 17 years of age, with $15,000 in my pocket, and driving a white Cadillac, I went down the street and rounded the corner. I was on another man's territory, and he blasted me in the chest with a shotgun. 17 years of age, and he was lecturing and speaking to my young people. One night after he dismissed her, we came out, and this young lady stood there with the saddest look. And I said, "Honey, how old are you?" She said, 15. I said, "What is your trouble?" She said, "I'm hooked. I'm hooked." And then this young man said to her, "Let me see the pills you're taking." So she showed them to him. He said, "What do you pay for these?" She told him. He said, he's clearing you off. You don't need that. That's too much." Then I said to her, "How do you pay for them?" She said, "I sell my body. I sell my body to pay for them." "It doesn't pay, my friend. Pleasure does not." I said, "Why don't?" I said to her one night, I said, "Why don't you go home?" She said, "I'm ashamed to. I've seen them wallowing in their own vomit on the streets of forgotten women with hair disheveled, faces emaciated. And I've said to them, 'Why don't you go home?'" She said, "I'm ashamed to. I'm ashamed to." Belshazzar in life was given to pleasure seeking. He was a pleasure seeker. Second, Belshazzar in life was given to debauchery. Given to debauchery. Look what happened to him. Given to debauchery. He went on and said, "Go yonder and get the cups out of the get the vessels out of the temple, comparable to our communion cups, and let us drink wine out of those." And they went and got them, and he put to unholy uses things that had been dedicated to holy uses. And then committed a double affront. They praised the gods of gold and wood and stone. There's no depth of debauchery that people will go to who are completely yielded to the devil.
Right.
Whoever dreamed that that splendid young man yielded himself to the drinking crowd would soon be a blear-eyed, whiskey-soaked, degenerate, drunken gloat. Whoever believed it? Whoever believed that that young woman who gave herself to the dance and to the crowd would soon be groveling in the mires of impurity? Whoever believed it? Debauchery. What a shameful word. How full of shameful disgust. Debauchery. Debauchery. It came from pleasure-seeking. Why? Because pleasure-seeking and debauchery go hand in hand. They came from the same place. They sprang from the same root. And they bear the same fruit. The other thing about him was he lived in false security. Very easy to see that. Like the rich farmer who said, "What will I do with all of this grain?" He said, "This I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build me bigger ones." And he patted his fat sides and talked and oozed out the personal programs, the personal pronouns, and talked about his crops, his barn, his all. Not a word about God's sunshine. Not a word about God's rain. He felt that he had it fixed. He is all set. God leaned over and listened to the musing of his heart and then said, "Thou fool." Wasn't a fool because he had a big barn. He wasn't a fool because he had a big crop. He was a fool because he had the wrong estimation of God. It was all me and mine. All me and mine. Some of you listening to me today, some of you sitting out there in your home, you've got your radio, your television, a good job, automobile, family's all well, everything is lovely now. You don't need anything. You don't need anything. But in the midst of all of that, God leans over and said, "Thou fool, this night," and that night may be closer to you than you've ever dreamed of. Now let me talk to you about his death for a couple of minutes. Belshazzar in death, his death was not without warning. His death was not without warning. Somebody said, look at the king. His countenance had changed. His knees smote one against another. I tell you, old Bell was about all in, brother. His knees smote one against another. And yonder was an armless hand with a gruesome finger writing in characters of fire, "Mina, Mina, Tika, you Fasten." And somebody at the feet of the dancers stopped. The music ceased. And Belshazzar said, "Send out and get the wise men, the astrologers and the soothsayer. Send out and get the ministerial association and bring them in and let them read this." And he'd been canning and caressing that crowd and telling them how big they were. And when they came walking in, he said, "Read it, read it." They said, "We can't read it, King. We can't read it, King." Then somebody said, "Send out and get Daniel." Little old Daniel wasn't at their godless blowout that night. I doubt if Daniel even belonged to the ministerial association. I think Daniel might have been pastor of a little independent Baptist church in a back alley somewhere downtown. Amen. Old Daniel came walking. But I'll tell you one thing. Daniel wasn't at their Gossus blowout that night. They had to send out to get him. Men who read divine interpretations don't hang around a joint like that.
Amen.
Little old Daniel came in, said, "Read it, Daniel, read it." Said, "Keep your shirt on, King, I'll read it. But before I do, I'll preach you a sermon that you'll remember when the stars have been rung out of their sockets and the sun's been blowing out and the moon's been turned to blood and time is no more." He said, you remember the man that God lifted up and blessed him and so forth. You remember how he forgot God. You remember your grandfather Neb, don't you? You remember him. He said, you should have taken some warning from that, who made his hair like eagle's feathers, his nails like bird's claws, and sent him out in the field to eat the grass like the ox. You should have listened to that, but you didn't. But you didn't. He said, "What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean?" He said, "Read it, and I'll put a chain of gold around your neck. I'll make you third ruler in the kingdom." He said, keep your political appointments for your pie-eating politicians. I'll read it. It means, sir, that your kingdom is divided. It means that you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. It means that Belshazzar, you're going to die. It means that you're going to die. Your lie, yours has not been without warning. When you've been pressed against the cold wall yonder and death blows its icy breath in your face. You said, "I never heard." He said, "You remember when you heard the preacher stood on Zion wall and preached to you? You remember that? You remember when the Holy Spirit walked among you that night and you gripped the back of a bench to keep from coming forward? You remember that?" He said, "You remember that? You remember the thousands of ways that God has moved to try to get you saved and you've turned it down. Listen, his death was not without warning. God sent Belshazzar to warn him. He did. God sent the hand on the wall. He did. It didn't affect him any. He didn't profit by it. His death was under condemnation. He said, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." He knew he was lost. He knew where he was going. He knew he was lost. He knew it was hell for him. And he said, "There it is." He died under condemnation. "While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyelids close in death, when I see the world unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages left for me, let me hide myself in thee." Listen, my friend, and hear the other. His death was in fear. His knees smote one against another, and his thoughts troubled him. Scared. Would you be afraid? Listen, would you be afraid? 3 times I've been down to the water's edge and felt the wave lash against the boat. One time in major surgical operation, 3 days later, as the doctor stood around my couch with a stethoscope upon my chest and then looked up at the others and said, "Gentlemen, this man is dead." And they had my death notice, I wasn't the honest one. But anyway, let me tell you something. His death was in fear. Would you be afraid if God would put the cold hand of death upon you? Would you be afraid? No, I was happy. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "Dr. Lakin, do you think much about dying?" No, I'm sort of looking forward to it. Every now and then I tiptoe and peep over and see loved ones in glory looking this way, fair as the morning, bright as the day. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry about me. I told the Lord I want to stay here as long as I can. I'm going to keep holding on to the Willis. But I said, when the time comes, make it quick. When the time comes.
Amen.
I don't want to hang around. And I'm not ready to go yet. His death was in fear. Forgive another. And his death was sudden that night. That night may be nearer you've ever dreamed of. That night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Listen to me. You know what you think? You say, "Dr. Lincoln, I'm going to live to be old age like you. I'm going to be live to be an old man or woman. Then I'm going to die with a long lingering illness. Then I'll have plenty of time to fix it up." How do you know? At an hour when you think not, the Son of Man coming. Is this your last one? Would you be afraid? Now, Father, we pray that thou would bless this message today. In Jesus' name.